This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club on FUBAR Radio.
We're doing it, yeah? Right, yeah.
We're doing it.
Good morning. My name's Nick Helm, and this is
Nathaniel Metcalf.
And you're listening to Nick and
Nat's
Fan Club. First rule of Fan Club is
tell your friends about Fan Club.
And then the second rule of it's a play on Fight Club.
It is.
I did a show called Loaded. And the title of the show was called Loaded because it was about a bunch of millionaires.
Yes,
we'd just become loaded, and so it's a pun. No, it's not. It works on one level. Loaded, but then we were games developers.
Yes,
and so you load games, and
I didn't pick up on that either.
We didn't. We did the whole series, and about we filmed for 5.5 months, and about 4 months into it. I can't remember which one of us, but one of us was like, "Oh yeah, Loaded, like a video game," and it was like, "It was me," but it was just like, I was trying to be modest, but I mean, it was me. I think about these things, and I said, "Oh, it's like a thing," and we were all like, "Oh yeah, it was like that." And then I said it to someone that was in. I bumped into someone like last week. I mean, we filmed this like a year and a half ago, and I bumped into like the editor or someone that was in production, and I said, "Oh yeah, because it works on two levels. It's like that." No one picked up on that. And it's a bit like, I just wonder how many people have associated the fact that, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to overanalyze it. And you know, because sometimes it's like a clock and you take it apart and then you can't put it back together. A frog, it's not a clock.
Yes.
You can put a clock back together again, but it's a frog. If you take a frog apart, then you'll never be able to tell the time. So that's Fan Club. Second rule of Fan Club is please tell your friends.
Tell your
bloody friends. I've had a bit of fan mail.
Fan mail. Specifically addressed to you or to the
specifically, fan? Keep it rolling in. it's from Rachel.
We've got the sax in. We've got the male sax.
Have we got any saxophone music for this bit? The male sax arrived. And it's a very bassy, male-sounding sax. Or a deep-voiced woman. We've got... anyway, I've got a bit of fan mail. Thank you very much, Rachel. Much appreciated. But stop going on about it. Okay, so we're in the room. I've managed to talk about one project that I've been in, and it's more than I can do, Nick. Well, I fucking went to see your show on Sunday.
You did, yes. Thank you for coming.
Oh, it was brilliant. Really enjoyed it.
Good. There's not much I can say, is there? I could go, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's brilliant. Well, I really enjoyed it, and I think it is almost as good as it ever was. It just keeps... The more you do a show like that, I think, the better it gets.
Well, it's nice to finally have a face to the name. What I mean is that you were banging on about it for over a year.
It wasn't that you went, oh, that's what he looks like.
It's radio.
Of course you can't see what I look like.
Can't see what you look like. I've got something on my head in my mind that's very it's a bit blue, but
it's FUBAR, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can say what you like. No holds barred.
I woke up in the morning. No, I'm not going to. No, I can't. it's sharing too much, but
that's Fan Club.
That's Fan Club. I thought I'd ejaculated over my stomach in the night, but it turns out that it's just my sunburn peeling. I did it. Yeah,
it was too much.
It was too much.
Oh, shit. Oh,
that's horrible. Say it. I did it. What was I talking about just before that? Who bloody knows?
Have you been a fan of anything?
Oh, your show.
Oh, yes.
Right, yeah. So I finally saw your show and I thought it was really good. But what's interesting, we can spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's sort of standard.
Is that there's a Jeremy Irons was talking about, you show a clip of Jeremy Irons' interview and it transpires that he doesn't know how to say the word chameleon.
That's right.
He says chameleon.
Chameleon.
And then you showed a clip from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Like a bit late, as a callback of Tom Baker saying chameleon.
Chameleon.
And a lot of your show was about David Bowie.
Yes.
Or Bowie. depending on your pronunciation or pronunciation. And David Bowie, right? Or Bowie.
Bowie, could be.
It's a made-up name. I mean, there's an interview of him saying David. It's a made-up name.
Yeah, so he's like, it doesn't really matter.
He says you can even the B-man himself.
I always think you've got your... You should say... Technically, I think you should say Bowie. I always say Bowie, but then he called his son Zowie Bowie.
So, surely Zowie Bowie.
Yeah. So it must be Bowie, right?
It's Bowie. It must be. But it's a made-up name, so say how you like. Anyway, so the fact is that the guy that what was it? His dance partner.
Lindsay Kemp. He was like a mentor to him and like a dancer.
Yeah.
And a mime.
And he died the week that your show finished.
Just when it finished.
And somebody sent you an interview.
Yeah. And it has him talking about David Bowie
which
is all what the show's about. And he also uses the phrase Charmeleon.
And you used it as your sort of like topper at the end. I think that is such a fucking weird coincidence.
Yes. Yeah.
You know. It's just so weird that you did a show for a month that was about two separate things, really. It was about David Bowie and the fact that celebrities can't pronounce the word Charmeleon.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a good show, does it?
I mean, there were kind of like more issue-based shows in Edinburgh. I mean, but
Spirit of the Fringe, I was expecting.
Spirit of the Fringe, sure. Why not?
Should have done. I mean,
he went in there with a hope in your heart and a song in your hand.
What's your show about? Domestic abuse. Okay. What's yours about? It's about how some actors can't say Chameleon and David Bowie.
I thought it was a great show. Anyway, speaking of celebrity deaths, Burt Reynolds died yesterday.
He did. It's very sad.
And I don't know loads about Burt Reynolds, but our friend Mike Bubbins is a huge Burt Reynolds fan. Which one do I put? Hello, is that Mike?
Hello, Nick.
Oh, there he is. Hello, how you doing?
Hello, very well, thank you.
How are you holding up?
I bear it up under the strain. That's pretty sad, to be honest.
Yeah,
of course. I mean, I always think about it in terms. I always think about it in terms of I don't know how I react when Alice Cooper dies, and he's like my hero, and I know that Burt Reynolds was a huge.
Well, you'll be devastated, is the short answer.
Yeah, sure. So when
it does feel like it feels like a family member's died. I know that sounds overdramatic, but it does. It's weird. Strange.
And where were you when you found out, Mike?
I was watching the Wales football game yesterday, and then my phone sort of pinged, and someone on Twitter said, "Oh, listen, mate, I'm so sorry about Burt Reynolds." I was like, "Oh
no,
shit!" I went on there and had a look, and then it was, but my phone was ringing, like the landline was ringing, the mobile phone was pinging, just people offering their condolences to me.
I think Burt Reynolds is someone who is like, I think you think of him as like the sort of character, the mustachioed sort of 70s and 80s smoking a bandit Burt Reynolds. But he was like a sort of super cool guy, wasn't he? When you sort of see him in Deliverance and Navajo Joe and all those movies.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Deliverance is a brilliant film. But I mean, I loved I watched Smoking the Bandit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I've probably seen it, you know. I am a mustachioed cool guy myself.
I
pretty much based my entire look on Burt Reynolds, really. In the earlier years, not recently, but it's just a weird thing. It's the finality of it. It's when someone like Nick Lowe, Alice Cooper, when he dies, it'll be the fact that you'll never see him again. That will never happen. You'll never bump into him. You'll never have an interview.
You'll
never make anything new. That's just it. You know, it's a weird one.
And do you regret that thing where you think you have that thing and you go, "Well, I'll never meet him"?
Do you know what? I've obviously dabbled a bit with TV, and there's a few little things that are going on now, but. At every meeting I've ever had about commissioning ideas, there's always been this documentary where I go to Florida where he runs his acting school.
Yeah, well, we were talking about doing something with that. Yeah,
we did, didn't we? About going there and sort of meeting Bill Reynolds.
We wanted to do... We were trying to get someone to commission us to do the Cannonball Run, and then we'd go from one side...
Exactly.
...of America to the other, and we'd eventually end up at Burt Reynolds Acting School.
Do it in reverse. You go from West Coast to East Coast and end up in Florida, wouldn't it? And I thought, oh, fuck, that's never going to happen now. I'm really gutted about it. I'm genuinely devastated.
Yeah. What's your favourite film?
My favourite film is probably, I mean, Smoking the Bandit, I love. I watched it last night. But I love The Longest Yard.
Oh, really?
British
people might know it's a Machine.
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, yeah, the original, because there was... There was the Adam Sandler version, which was fairly bad, and then there was the
Vinnie Jones one as well, wasn't there?
Vinnie Jones one was awful, but the original Longest Yard '74.
Well, the Vinnie Jones one was called Mean Machine, though.
Same thing.
Well,
yeah.
The Longest Yard was also called Mean Machine when it got released over here because people didn't know what the Longest Yard meant.
Oh right, okay.
Before we were a bit more savvy with American football. What's that mean?
The Longest Yard. He's got quite a significant part in the remake, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a nice cameo in it, but he plays the role that what's his name, James Hampton played in the original, the caretaker. Yeah. But it's I just sat here last night with a bottle of whiskey watching, which I think he would have approved of. I watched The Longest Yard, then I watched Smokey the Bandit.
Oh yeah.
I was like telling you before we chatted about this. His autobiography is the first Audible book that I ever sort of downloaded was that. It's called But Enough About Me.
Sure, I remember.
But it's just the best thing ever.
You talk about how lovely, how good that book is. I remember one of the first times I met you, Mike. I met you in Edinburgh, didn't I? But I think I think maybe the first time that I actually saw you on your home turf in Wales, you picked me up in your car. And you had a sat nav, and you've got two loves in your life. But
that's right. But, Jesus, I forgot about that.
Burt Reynolds and the Green Bay Packers. On your sat nav, your icon, rather than I don't know what it normally is, but rather than a car, it was a Green Bay Packer helmet.
Oh, Green Bay Packers helmet. And the voice was Burt Reynolds.
And it was, and Burt Reynolds would shout at you while you're driving. And he'd go, "Turn left, you putz."
Yeah, I think you've got it. But the best thing about that was, for the same reason the book is amazing, is that was him doing it. It wasn't someone doing a Burt Reynolds impression.
Sure, when
Burt Reynolds doing it.
He does his own audiobook.
Oh, man. The audiobook is, you'll just, 1 minute you're laughing, the next minute you're crying, and then you just, it's oh, dear, mate. I feel like people after Diana died. Well. And he was a chameleon as well. He was a real chameleon.
What do you think of Cannonball Run?
I love Cannonball Run. I think it's a weird one because it's a slow burn. Like the first sort of 20 minutes is set up, but then it's a riot after that.
Yeah.
He said that was his favourite film to make was Cannonball Run.
Well, I think the best part of Cannonball, I love Cannonball Run. I think I prefer Cannonball Run to Smoking the Bandit, but I would say
Free Country.
Smoking the Bandit is more of a Burt Reynolds vehicle. And Cannonball Run's like it's a mad world.
It's a real ensemble piece, isn't it?
Or Rat Race, it's like a real kind of like all of the celebrities at the time in it. But what's the best part of Cannonball Run is maybe, is it the end credits or is it the blooper reel?
Is that during the end credits? Yeah, with Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds loved each other, didn't they?
He talks about him in the book, and he's in tears talking about. He said he was my best friend, and I miss him every day. And I was bawling my bloody eyes out in the middle of a flight to Serbia. It was quite embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, Burt Reynolds for a time, people forget that he was like the biggest star in the world, wasn't he?
He was the number. He's the only person ever that was number one box office for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
That's never happened before or since.
And I think he's one of those people, he seems like people just don't think of him that way now, do they? They almost sort of...
I was saying in the 80s, when I was a massive Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, I was just thinking, and people would say, but of course, you know, Burt Reynolds was as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I found that incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, he talks about regrets, but I think there's one regret he had, which is weird, because it's quite an iconic picture of him, is doing that Cosmopolitan spread when he, you know, the naked spread on the Persian rug. And he said that came out just as Deliverance was hitting the screens. That came out, and he did it as a sort of a joke, really.
Yeah.
And after that, he didn't get taken seriously, and he generally thought that it wrecked his chances of an Oscar nomination and the supporting cast having nominations.
Because
he
was seen as like a joke character then, you know. And he did other films like.
And I guess and the kind of films he made changed after that too, right? They were much more sort of comedies or comedies or you know that kind of thing.
What's interesting to me, anyway, that he talks about some films which got slated and other things he did, you know. But he said he may not have done it for artistic reasons, but every film he made for a reason. He didn't just make it.
Yeah.
So if it was a friend who'd written a screenplay, he would be in it. If it was a location he wanted to go to, then he'd go and film at that location. If it was a leading lady that he fancied, he might make the film for that reason. So there was always a reason for making a film, even if they weren't always. But he said they said there was five films he was proud of as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was. I mean, people forget what a great actor he was. That's the thing that, like I said, because he did those knockabout sort of films, which are great.
Well, I came to Deliverance after I'd seen things like Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run and things, and you go, "Wow, what was this?" It's like a completely different
guy. It is completely. Yeah.
If you could pick any song that encapsulates your love for Burt Reynolds, what would it be?
I'd pick Jay Reed, Eastbound and Down from Smokey the Bandit, okay. Probably.
Well, we'll play that out at the end of the show.
Oh, wonderful. Song.
Thanks for talking to us, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Come in and join us one day.
Commiserations.
I'd love to.
And send in my love.
Hey, thanks a lot, boys.
Right. All right, cheers.
Talk to you later.
See you later.
Keep the faith.
I'm not playing that.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
We're back. Have I put all the right microphones? Yes, I've done that. Yes, number two, yes.
Number
right.
two.
We're joined in the... Yeah.
So number two.
Number two? Is that working? Is
I'm number three. Am I number three?
That doesn't sound like it's working. Natalie, get in here. We're joined in the studio now by Andy Kindler, stand-up comedian Andy Kindler. But his microphone doesn't sound like it's working. I put the third one up.
Is this it is all this is unacceptable.
Yeah, it works now.
I'm going to leave and come back.
Yeah, this is. And normally, this is a really professional show.
I can't believe it. Very shambolic.
Yes.
What's happening?
You've just learned that word.
I just learned that word, shambolic.
I thought it was a bit jutting.
Jutting.
We're talking about words with.
Do you mean jarring?
No. He was saying he enjoyed the show, but I said I was very unprepared. I was making fun of being unprepared last night.
Yeah.
And he said, and said something like, so his act was this and jutting. And I looked it up and it didn't seem to be a word that.
Someone said it thinking, they probably mean jarring, have said jutting. And then he tried to I reckon he's gone. He's trying to get away. He's trying to style it out.
Did
and
he say this
that.
To your face?
Well, I doxed him. I doxed him, whatever that means.
What's doxed?
A dox is when you like when you give out someone's home phone number on Twitter or something like that. Yeah. No. I think he's a reviewer. I don't know. He was very nice though, and we met up for tea.
What?
I don't know why I even said tea.
Last night?
No, I'm making that up. but it was on Twitter. I used to be addicted to Twitter. I'm no longer addicted to it, but I used to have a problem with Twitter.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I have to. I remove it from my phone every 2 weeks, and then and it lasts about a morning, and then I'm back on it.
Well, I have OCD, and there's an OCD nightmare.
Yeah.
Twitter, because when you have OCD, you're always checking. You're checking. So
yes,
I tweet something, I'm checking. What are they saying about me now?
I don't do that.
Well, because you're not. You're probably well-adjusted.
Sure. Well, I don't have OCD, maybe.
Oh, well, you don't have to brag about it like that. I mean, that is really...
when you got it, and the opposite, when you don't got
when
it,
you don't got it.
It.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Like you, but I don't have the germ thing. I have the, I'm going to get caught and sent to some kind of a camp.
Sure.
Or like you think you're going to, like in the show, you're talking about how you think you've committed lots of crimes, maybe, or you.
Yes.
Well, I did such a fucking terrible job of introducing him. So, you're Andy Kindler.
I know.
A stand-up comedian from America, and you are in England. You got here on Wednesday. You've got a bit of jet lag. You did your first show at the Soho Theatre last night in the main house. In the
main house.
Is that the main house?
Oh, yeah.
The main house.
Oh,
yeah.
Things are happening for
I've
me.
I've never gigged in the main house.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I've been nominated for a lot of awards. And I've never gigged
Have you won
in the
any
house.
Awards?
I've won a couple. I won best joke for a joke that my dad wrote. But
what was the joke?
I'm not doing it. I hate that joke.
Well, I guess that's why I got the £20,000 guarantee.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I say? I say prices. I make fun of how much I can make, but the I name a amount of money that some people do make. Like my guarantee is £20,000 for the week. You didn't seem to blink at that, but it's not. It's way less than that.
Oh, right.
You don't care.
I don't know what a guarantee is.
And what you sell. And what you sell of that.
I don't do the business side of it. I just do the creative side of it. And my agent takes care of everything.
Yeah, guarantee is like you'll make at least this much money, which I have to have.
Right.
Otherwise.
Sure. Otherwise, it's pointless.
I'm not going with a door deal.
It's a long way. I always find that the further I travel, the worse my gig is. But I've never gigged in America.
That's it. And also, if you do a terrible gig far away, it's worse because you're further away from your own front door.
Yeah.
If you've had a terrible gig, but it's 2 minutes from where you live, you go, I don't care. I'll be in bed in a minute.
Well, I'm sure, like, if you go 5 minutes outside of New York or you go 10 minutes outside of L.A., it's very rednecky.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know if that's a good word to use, but...
No, that's fine.
But that's... And is that...
FUBAR. FUBAR.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
FUBAR.
We don't. This is what the show is. This is all this is. This is all this is for an hour.
I just think it's exotic.
I'm in your face.
You've got an American accent.
Well, that's it. I think over here there's something, isn't there? Anyone who's American sounds... Yeah, it's you're exotic here.
You know what's amazing? Every American grows up thinking everybody from England is brilliant and smart because of the accent.
Yeah.
So I thought you guys would grow up thinking we're idiots, obviously.
No.
No, I think it's because almost all our culture is sort of American. We've got that sort of love of American pop culture and things here.
Probably not going to kiss America's ass too much here, Nat, but.
But you sent Piers Morgan to us.
Sorry.
And people here in America didn't know. I mean, like, well, Jeff Zucker, who's the head of CNN, don't get me started on him. But he was just awful. I mean, we hated him so much.
Who, Piers Morgan?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We had to send him away.
It's like a cultural representative, isn't it? And he goes out there, and we have to sort of like, say, we're not all like that.
Yeah.
I think people have enough of people, don't they, over here? And we send them off, and you just have like a little honeymoon period where you don't know how awful they are. And then we have a little bit of a rest from them for a bit, and then they come back, and then you go, oh, God.
Yeah, but how could people in the US hire him without knowing what his background was?
So what happened? He went over to America.
Didn't he take over one of the big talk shows, Larry King's show?
Fucking hell.
And it was just, he's just awful. Because he's awful person because, for example, he would, I'm a big, huge Obama fan. He would always slam Obama for trying to do anything with gun control. But he did try to do stuff with gun control. And then he climbed up Trump's backside.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's loads of photos of them together, and they love each other dearly.
Yeah, yeah.
So
wasn't he also on The Apprentice? Wasn't he?
Yes, that was the first. He is. I would say he's a to Americans. He's like a Simon Cowell knockoff.
Yeah. I mean, he is really. He doesn't even have consistent opinions. That's what I find. Like, you'll just say anything. He's just a rent-a-mouth. If someone, he just wants to disagree with something.
I feuded with him on Twitter until he blocked me.
I think he blocks everybody.
He blocks everybody.
I did a charity thing I was on Comic Relief 3 years ago. We did we did a thing.
It with was Piers Morgan?
No, it was with Johnny Vegas and Jet D and Patrick Keoghty and Vic Reeves. And while we were on, we did it and we came off. And for charity, we didn't get paid. We put like a week of work into it. Piers Morgan was slagging us off, saying how shit we were. And you go, well, I mean, to be fair, we did need a bit of work.
To be fair, that's what a lot of those telethons are like. They're not entertaining, but you've got to go, sure.
At least they did it, didn't they? We were like, oh, wow. We got off and Piers Morgan was like ripping us apart. And you go like, well, you know.
You have things here where it'll be like the telethon thing will be like, oh, we've got guys who read the news, but they're going to do a song from Hamilton. And you go, I mean, but why? And it's this kind of, and it's meant to be like, oh, you won't believe it. You used to be so serious, but now look at them singing and dancing. And you watch it and you go, so pledge money and send some money. And you go, but I don't want to see that. Why didn't you just have the people who do Hamilton all the time do it? Because they're good at it.
Or just repeats of Friends.
Yeah, put something on the people.
Pledge money and we're going to just be showing Friends.
I did see this thing that I liked online where I think a cricket guy was throwing a ball at Piers Morgan for
sounds
like
about
2 hours or kidding him with a ball or something. It was like purposely throwing. Is it cricket? Is that the name of the sport? But purposely throwing it at him. At his head.
Throwing a ball. Cricket balls are really hard.
Yeah, they'd be.
Yeah, that was the point. Well, he had seemed to have some kind of equipment on. Oh, he had to get out of the way. He did have to get out of the way.
Oh, what, for charity?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Okay. It wasn't like he just went up to him in the street with a cricket
ball. No. This is a famous.
That's an assault.
It was a famous cricket player who I don't know if it was Jiminy Cricket. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know who Jiminy Cricket is?
Yeah.
Well, that's like from old school.
Well, Pinocchio.
Yes,
but it's also a cartoon that.
Still, we've got things from the past.
We've got things from the past. Yeah.
Well, but that's my pet. You guys are young. You're from my pet.
I think it's not a Disney movie.
I
think it is really weird. You talk to some people. I mean, have we talked about this?
I don't know.
It's just like,
tell me.
When they say, oh, I haven't seen that. I wasn't born then.
Oh yeah, and I can't bear that.
Yeah, it's just like, I've seen King Kong.
Yeah.
I'm aware that it exists just because it wasn't. We have talked about this for sure. We definitely have. Yeah, Natalie's nodding. I've seen North by Northwest. I wasn't born then. I didn't mention North by Northwest. I think it's weird that people,
there's two parts to it. There's one part of it that I realize that my references of comics from the 50s or, you know, it's at some point I'm going to have to let it go. Or at least not expect everyone's going to get it.
Well, but I think that it's weird that you have to expect, you have to lower your standards to the point where you just live in a world where no one has any historic context.
I went down Main Street. I was walking down Main Street. That's what, like, if you used to picture a sitcom in the States, you go, and they go, oh, but they don't know what Sepulveda is. They don't know what this street is. You make it Main Street. Make it Avenue A. Because afraid that people in Idaho will go, oh, what's the name of that street?
Sure.
It's not Main Street. How could I watch this?
There seems to be a thing in comedy now where people talk about, it's like a good thing. They go, oh, I really like that. It's so relatable. And you go, but why? And that idea now that comedy has to, you have to relate to the comedian. Where actually, surely it's much better to hear someone talking about something and go, I don't know this guy. I don't know who this person is. And they're more interesting if you go, oh, they're from a completely different country or background or something. That's more interesting than seeing someone saying to me, oh, yeah, so today I just did what you did. I just go, like, I don't want to know what you did. Well, That's what I did.
Yeah, the whole likability thing is ridiculous because sometimes you know, like things, you know, like the original Office. Remember when everyone liked Ricky Gervais back then? I had another guy I had a feud with. Also, a guy who's six people on you online, Ricky Gervais. Yeah, he'll like his fanatic fans will come after you.
Oh
right.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
But you know, like,
yes, yeah, yeah.
When he was on The Office, I loved to hate him on that. I mean, he was unbelievable, right? And so you couldn't. No one would reject that show, going, "Oh, he's not likable."
Yes,
because that's the point of his character.
No, sure.
But he has to be likable as a hateable guy.
I think it's sort of bordering on psychotic to. Try and present yourself as the nicest person on. Well, I think I have a theory. I'm probably not going to go into it now, but people that have to present themselves as being likable on stage is kind of it's just like you've got to be funny. If you as a comedian, you've got to be funny. I mean, I go out of my way to present myself as unattractive, and mean, and thick, and I do all of the bad qualities that are in my head. I sort of like express myself like that. You know, I go out of my way to do all that. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? I mean, it's really hard to present myself as unattractive. Is this what you fucking fuck all of you?
Well, you make it, you have to you change your face or something to get into that uglier.
No, but I do sweat a lot, which not everyone finds unattractive. But
you're talking about crowd pleasing. I can't stand crowd pleasing.
I think it's kind of like I'm not interested in making friends. Really, it was my approach when I started out. I just think that it's weird when people come on and it's kind of like. Their main goal is to leave having made 100 friends that they're going to ignore in the street later anyway.
I went to see my therapist and he was saying, keep it light, but he was saying once again, so what you want to do with comedy is you're trying to make the crowd like you. And you go, you're trying to make everyone laugh, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm trying to make 4 people at the back laugh. That's what I'm trying to, I don't really care about. I want those people to like me. These guys are almost like they're just in the way. They're just in front of them.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying to make about 3 people in the room laugh.
Right, right. And I remember like I got into not trouble, but I got kind of controversial just by making fun of comics. Like that line I had last night was made Jim Belushi a big star.
Sure. That's a great line. We were talking just before you came in about the list of comedians that you basically tear apart.
Yeah, like Jimmy Fallon ride. You have to be this easily entertained to ride. But it's like a lot. There was a lot of comics because I give the speech in Montreal every year, the state of the industry. Mm-hmm. But a lot of comics got very mad at me because I almost like you can't talk about other comics. In fact, all of Louis's friends got mad at me when I went after him before all the stuff happened.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so I always felt like, but I wasn't in therapy then. Now I'm in therapy. Now I realize that that part of me does want to be liked by everybody, and it's impossible.
Maybe it is a defeatist attitude, isn't it? I want everyone to love me, but I don't want to have to kind of.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go to them. I want them to come to me.
That's how it's like when I go, it's like I know that I over exaggerate how poorly I'm doing on nights. You know, like I go, and it's like if someone doesn't die from laughing, I'm like, what's the problem here?
Absolutely. Well, you're deconstructing comedy, aren't
yes.
you? And you're on stage. And so I used to do a thing where, I still. Probably would if I was gigging at the time, but I go on and say, I've got I'd say, do you like jokes? Do you like jokes? Do you like jokes? And then I'd say, you're in luck, mate. I'd say, you're in luck, mate. I've got six of the cunts. Let's do this, right? And then I'd do six jokes. And then at the end, people would say, you did quite well with only six jokes. And you go, I've done an hour.
Yeah.
And I do six jokes at the beginning. And someone goes, you've done quite well with only six jokes. And you go, it's all jokes.
Yeah.
The whole thing is jokes. Just because I said it was six jokes, you're meant to work out.
Well, it seems to be a thing where, like, it'll be like an MC that will come out. And at the end, someone will always say, oh, well, you actually should try doing the comedies. Well, you're actually quite funny. You should be one of the acts. Maybe you could do it. You could do it as well.
I know. Well, I used to get the worst ones. I used to get like a, well, I laughed. I would get the end of the show.
Oh, I thought
you were funny. Yeah. Was that part of your act when you were getting upset at everybody? It was like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah. I'm quite aggressive, and everyone expects me to come up to. Like I was in the Soho Theatre. Just done a gig at Christmas, and my mum had come to see me, and I'm standing in the. So I'm getting my mum a drink, and someone just comes up to me and goes, "Why you cunts?" And I'm just like, "It's my fucking mum. It's my mum. I'm not on stage. It's just my mum. You know what I mean? It's an act. You know? It's just it's crazy." But yeah,
it is amazing that one word is so. Radically different here.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's almost friendly. it's not really aggressive.
It's casual.
It's very casual.
It can be male or female. It can be anybody, right?
Yeah.
Anyone could be a cunt.
Perhaps it's just more of them over here.
So you're recommending I use that word more while I'm here. Okay, great.
Use it on taxi drivers, use it on people in the street.
Yeah.
If you want to get past someone in the street, just say, get out of the way, you cunt.
And they like it, right?
They love it. People
hello,
love it.
Hello, friend.
Yeah, it's like that. It's the same. Like that.
Please move, friend.
Absolutely. When you come out on stage every night, you say, good evening, cunts, and they'll love you. Yeah.
That'd be a good scene for comedy. You could do a thing about how American people are different from English people.
I don't think that's been done before. Wait a second.
That was such a good joke.
We get the Lyft is a company that we have that drives you around. The Lyft here is the elevator. It's crazy. A fag is a cigarette. That's got to be so old now, right?
Gotcha.
Nobody would ever say that they're going to smoke a fag right now. Do they ever say that?
Yeah.
Do you call women birds?
Yeah. I call...
She's a nice bird.
Well, I wouldn't personally, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't know
anyone that does call people. Where did that come from?
I love the soundproofing in your studio. That guy was 4 miles away.
I like it. It's all soundproof that way, except on this side, one of the walls is just a window.
Overlooking the main road.
I was going to tell you, I'm not bragging, but I did the HBO Young Comedian special. Thank you. And I did this joke that I never even would use this word, but the joke was based on a washed-up old comic. And he's like, so he says, I got my Carson spot. I kept saying to myself, don't say pussy, say vagina. Don't say pussy, say vagina. I get in the show, I say, cunt, I'm off network for 5 years. And like, I did this back in 1991, and I was like scared to do it, but I knew I was doing it for the right reasons. But,
yeah.
You know, but normally
but you did that on telly? TV?
HBO, yeah.
Yeah,
I couldn't have done it on regular TV.
Yeah, sure, right, yeah.
But normally I'm clean, TV clean.
And you would say, so you could say cunt on HBO, but not on...
No, you cannot say... the thing is, my joke was a joke on the... you know, it was even then I was scared to do it because, you know...
You might lose work off it.
I was not that scared about it, but I just felt like... I had to do it because it was one of my favorite bits. I go to the club, I ask the club owner... can I have an advance? He goes, how much you need? I go, how much does an 8-ball go for in this town? They canceled the fucking week on me. So it's like a whole series of these jokes. I had a bacon and bean burrito. I had my stomach pumped. I'm 5 minutes late for the show. Canceled the week.
What year was your first gig then? What year did you start?
My wife's telling me, why are you... This is the only time you're not going to tell people how old you are? Because she hates that I'm like in a restaurant. I'll have a chicken parmesan. I'm 61, you know? But I started in 84.
Wow, yeah.
1984. Wow. And so I've been doing it for 34 years.
And you feel that there is this thing of a stigma about comics slagging off other comics, right? I think that's here. But it almost feels like you can't be a sacred cow yourselves, right?
Yeah, it's like it's so weird, though, because, you know, you have comics who, you know, Michael Jackson jokes for hours.
Sure.
And then it's like, I think it's only because I knew these people
Yeah.
Like Adam Sandler, I used to be friends with Adam Sandler and Judd Apatow, but then I started to make fun of Adam Sandler, and then he didn't like it.
Well, that's understandable, though, isn't it?
I could have been in The Wedding Singer, for example, if I had played my cards right.
Yeah.
And do you feel that is something? Do you feel like you've lost out on things because you feel like...
Well, back then, I had, and I'm being serious about this, I was not in therapy, and I, you know, I'm in therapy now, so now I know what I was trying to do back then. I was compelled to say these things, but I was deathly afraid of what the consequences would be. But now I look back and it's like, would you really have wanted to be in what's another one of those movies with the golf thing and the
Caddyshack?
No,
oh, Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it's like, would you have wanted to be in those movies? It's like I realized I could see that I really was struggling with this whole wanting to be liked, and also I had a whole thing with. If I went after somebody, it had to be justified.
Sure.
And that's also ridiculous.
But the thing you said about Joan Rivers yesterday was, if I didn't say it, it wouldn't make her like me anymore.
Right.
And this is like, it's a good point.
Yeah. What did I say?
You said something about Joan Rivers.
If I didn't say it, she... Yeah.
You said, if I hadn't said it, it's not going to make her like me anymore.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. But she really was... Hang on. No, she really was a miserable human.
Right.
But that's it also. It is from someone you've met, where it's from a perspective of... So the audience might go, ooh, and bristle.
Right.
But it's also because we don't know them as people. We know them as, you know, people on off the telly. Or...
Yeah. But I've mentioned other comedians while I'm on stage, and I sort of mean it affectionately. But I still always feel really weird about it. And then I just think that what I'd actually... I think... One of the things is that while you're on stage and you're performing, you don't really want to remind people that there are better comedians out there. so you want to create your own little world where it's kind of like you are the comedian, and that's how. I mean, I think I used to say a thing about Chris Ramsey, and the implication was that he is one of the biggest comedians in the country at the time, and so it was like a compliment. But I think people sort of saw it as you're just slagging off Chris Ramsey. But he came to see it, and he was fine with it. So.
Well, I used to... I mean, I decided at one point I got to get off of Leno because he's not on TV anymore. But I used to have jokes like, Jay Leno has a car that runs on the energy of all the people's dreams that he's crushed. Because he has all those crazy cars.
Sure. But also his crushed dreams.
Oh, he is. Because the point of it is that... I think what I was attacking was the fake artifice of friendliness. To me, I was always a Letterman guy because he was real.
Yeah,
you know. And so Leno, apparently, from people I know, Leno off stage is brutally... Like, he used to be funny in the 80s. And he used to go on Letterman and be funny. But he's also brutally angry, but he doesn't want anybody to see that.
Didn't he do something like do a gig on the day he got married?
Like, no. First of all, I'll tell you right now that he lies about everything. He's a liar. If you read his book, if he wants to sue me, he has stories like this. Yeah, once I got to the club and it was and the club flooded, I had to do my act from a canoe. You know, it's like all these ridiculous. I got to L.A. and I was on the Hollywood Boulevard there, and I was running down the street there, and a guy picked me up. Turns out he was gay. I mean, it's all these stories that are absolutely. He worked in Boston at a car place, and he took his money in cash all the way to the Improv in New York. He left the money on the counter, and then he drove back to Boston. And then I go back to New York and the money was still there. You know, it's like, it's all lies. I don't know why he lies so much.
Well, I suppose that's another thing with comics, though, right? Where lots of people tell stories that definitely aren't true.
Yeah, but this is goes beyond. He tried to pay, I think it was Jeff Altman. He wanted to pay Jeff Altman for an anecdote that happened to Jeff Altman that Jay Leno said happened to him. He went on the Dinah Shore show. They said, what's your playoff music? And he said this, but I said it too early, and then I was off, and in like 30 seconds, it happened to Jeff Altman. So what I was told was that once they were leaving Leno's lair, and he goes, hey, I'd like to buy that joke from you then. And then it happened to me. And then later on, I guess Jeff Altman did sell it to him. he does present it. That, to me, is weird. I mean, I see you buy jokes, but to buy like a whole personality?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
But I guess that's not.
You guys
love about
Leno. I'm very sorry.
No,
I shouldn't have done
it. I mean, often those shows don't really come over here. We have Letterman, like, occasionally, and I loved it.
His Netflix show is great.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, yeah. But you're right. He's very, and he's someone who you'll be watching him, and you'll go, "Oh, it's really funny because he looks really pissed off today."
Yeah, he'll,
and he'll just be like, oh, "I'm not having it." He's like, "Yeah,
he hoses
having
down
a bad day."
He hoses down. Like he had a bit that he would do. He would hose down New Yorkers from these water, just water hoses.
Sure. Because,
get the hell out! Get back to Times! Get out of here! You know, just go back to New Jersey.
Yeah. I think there's so many late night talk shows. And don't get them over here.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's not
now.
Really
it's
in
not,
the culture.
It's not a thing over here. So it's just kind of like one of those things where you go, "Oh yeah, Jay Leno and Ken."
But there's so many things.
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, is that still going?
Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say Conan O'Neill.
You should record that and send it to him.
Conan O'Brien.
And say, "What? That can't be your last name." It's Conan O'Neill.
Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel.
So
Jimmy.
all these guys to me always feel like I kind of know who they are as a kind of in the culture. But
yes.
We don't have those shows. We don't like...
But I've watched so much Jimmy Fallon on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, so you get those things.
His
they
angle
clip
is.
Those. Yeah, yeah, they clip those things out. And
he does a hacky sack race with Cameron Diaz, and the entire nation of China downloads it.
Sure. Oh, but also, I'm a massive David Spade fan.
Oh, I love him.
I'm wearing my Tommy Boy t-shirt today.
Oh!
Doesn't have loads of material online, so I just go through all of his chat show appearances. So he's always on Ellen, and he's always on Jimmy Kimmel, and he doesn't do Jimmy Fallon that much. But
he's so funny. He
I
was
love him.
When
he's,
I did.
He's great. He's sort of like found a place of being kind of like a raconteur, especially all of his Ellen ones. He's sort of like just comes into Ellen, tells a story about who he's been hanging out with, and it's kind of like all the celebrity gossip and stuff.
He's so funny. And when I did my Young Comedian special, he's from Arizona. That's where he taped it, and he came and he was very supportive, and he was really cool. But it's something like a month after it, I'm in Hollywood, and he's going into a restaurant. I go, David. David, he wouldn't turn around because normally it would be
everyone,
bad.
Yeah.
Someone's yelling David to him. Yeah, he just completely ignored it. And went, I wish I had that kind of career.
Well, I've got that thing sometimes with like Nick's on the telly over here. He's on TV. But I've seen things where I'll be out with you and you can see people sort of
panic
or shout something.
Yeah.
But it's almost become like white noise to you. It's like you haven't noticed.
Well, it's because it's more. If you're getting mobbed, that's one thing. But if it's one,
oh yeah,
if it's one person.
Oh, you're not getting mobbed. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, if it's
one,
not.
It's always
what
one person.
Is this one person? It'll be one person, and you get in. You get in the elevator for you. The
what?
Lift. You get in the lift.
Right. The lift.
And,
after watching the telly?
Watch the telly.
And just as the doors are closing, it'll be a packed lift. And just as the doors are closing, one guy will turn around and he'll just say, because nobody talks in public, on public undergrounds and public transport. So just the doors are closing, someone will say, "You're that guy." And, and then everyone in the lift will kind of like turn around and you'll be sort of like, and you just get really self-conscious about it.
Yeah, if I go to JFK Airport in Queens, and I stand on a rotating platform with DVDs from Everybody Loves Raymond, I will get recognized at least once an hour. Just it has to rotate around so they can see the face and the credit.
Sure. But it's worth it.
I really like Everybody Loves Raymond.
I think that was a popular show here. When I at the border, the customs guy said he watched it. That's how That's how I got in.
I really liked it. I thought what was really interesting about that show was that because it's a family sitcom, and then every so often they'd do an episode that was really existential, and they'd talk about whether God exists or not.
Yeah,
and it was sort of like wow. Then they sort of like talk about stuff that you wouldn't normally get in. Sort of King of Queens or something like that.
People think I, for years, I went to the 100th episode of Raymond and they were having a big red carpet thing. So I go on the red carpet and they go, "Ladies and gentlemen, from the King of Queens, Patton Oswalt." Right? So they're all like snapping. I go, "Oh, no, I'm not Patton Oswalt." And that was worse because then they stopped snapping. But people think I'm Patton Oswalt all the time.
But you're not.
Because I'm, they think we look alike, but I'm, clearly handsome.
But that's odd, though, isn't it? Because you don't look like each other.
I think it's that the shows are similar.
Sure, yes.
Yeah. Oh, and they've just... Okay.
Well, that's a spin-off, isn't it? King of Queens is a
King
spin-off
of,
from,
yes.
From Everybody Loves Raymond. He was the mailman.
He's gone
and then
now.
He got his own series. Who's gone now?
Kevin James.
What do you mean he's gone?
Well, he's alive.
Oh, right. Oh.
But his career is gone.
Well, he did a weird thing with his Kevin Can Wait, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he got rid of
fired his wife, and he just recast Leah Remini
for the last couple of episodes
from
King of Queens. She's King of Queens.
Yeah, King of Queens. Yeah.
He had a
screen wife that was in King of Queens, and then he got a new sitcom, new wife.
Kevin Can Wait.
And then everyone was just like, oh, we kind of like, I guess he just missed working with her. So he killed off his screen wife into the series, and he replaced her with his old screen
wife. Well, it was
wife.
Ratings, too. They were getting the ratings, so he thought it was a ratings
so that
grab.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We've really fucked today up because we don't have enough time to play a song.
Oh, we've just been chatting. This is all right, though, right?
I blame myself.
We haven't talked to you. What's your favorite film?
I like a modern romance, and I'm going with comedy films.
Sure.
Yeah.
Modern romance is my favorite movie of all time, and also I like Lost in America, too. But modern romance is a class. I've watched it probably 25 times.
Albert Brooks.
Yes.
I've not seen modern romance. No. I've seen Albert Brooks wasn't such a huge thing over here.
No, it doesn't feel like
he's not such a huge. He's not really huge over there.
Yeah, but he's like what is he? He's like East Coast Woody Allen, isn't he?
I never thought of that, but okay.
Where he writes kind of like, he writes, and does he direct as well?
He wrote these short films for Saturday Night Live back in the day,
right,
and he would do takeoffs on comedy and ventriloquism.
I'm aware of Albert Brooks, but he wasn't sort of like a big thing over it. But I've seen The Muse, and I've also seen, what's the name of the one?
Oh, yeah, the
Meryl
Streep
one when he goes to heaven.
That's a good one. I don't think The Muse is that good. What did you think?
It was later on. It was straight to video over here, so it was kind of... Yeah. That had Sharon Stone in as well.
Defending Your Life is the last of his great movies. I mean, he can still do a great movie, but Lost in America, Modern Romance, and Defending Your Life are the best.
I do really like Defending Your Life.
I feel like I've really missed out.
I couldn't tell you what it was called.
And we're going to talk about Dick Van Dyke Show, but we've sort of done it in part. Well, that's another show which we didn't really have here, but culturally it's a massive thing, right?
And I grew up watching. I mean, I could say like On the Family was my favorite show, but I was already an adult by then. Yeah. Dick Van Dyke, I was watching reruns or the original shows when I was like 8 years old.
Dick Van Dyke over here has this terrible reputation for being like, people go, oh. In Mary Poppins, it's the worst English accent, isn't it? What a terrible Cockney accent. But I love it. I love Dick Van Dyke. I think he's absolutely huge. And but the other thing when people go, oh, he can't do it. He can't do a Cockney accent. It's terrible. But then he does. He also plays the guy in the bank and does a perfect English accent.
Oh, he does? Okay.
So it's that thing where you go, it's obviously a joke. It's part of the performance, I believe, is that he's doing a silly...
It is
Cockney
hard,
accent.
Though. It's very, very hard.
To do an English accent.
I think English people do American accents. I know it's probably a cliche to say it, but they do it much better than Americans
I think it can't be that hard. I mean, I think it's because England's one of those baffling countries where for a country that's so little, we have different accents every 20 or 30.
It's unbelievable. I always think it's going to be, I go, Liverpool, right? Because that's my only...
Well, I went to Florida, when I was in Florida, people used to say that we sounded like the Beatles. And you go, I don't think so.
Yeah, I went to Florida once and someone said, you sound like Hugh Grant. And you go, I don't sound like Hugh Grant. I wish I did. I don't sound like Hugh Grant at all.
Who was it? People have like four references for the country?
Yeah. Hmm. It's like, I'm not, you know, that kind of sort of super posh, super well-spoken. You go, well, I love that you think I sound like you, Grant, but I don't. I mean, over here, I'm scum. But in America,
what's your accent?
I guess it's sort of London. Right. I'm initially from the north, but I've been in London since I was three, so I guess it's a kind of London.
But can you guys do different areas?
Natalie was telling me the other day that I don't have an accent. She said, I don't know what your accent is. I don't know what it is. She got really angry about it.
Angry. She was angry at me. She said, what are you doing?
She's an angry person.
She's actually.
She's a really angry person.
It's the one downside. It's the one downside of coming in here every week. Because it's just around the corner from me, slightly further away from you.
But you can hear, I was told last night that you can understand Americans better than I can understand. Like, I'm starting to get it. But it's hard when you first come over
because
here.
We grew up
with the movies and TV, so there's no way we wouldn't, you know, it's like it's ingrained because we see so much American culture.
I tell you what's sometimes weird is hearing an American accent in real life because you're used to hearing it on TV and in films. And when you hear an actual American, it's kind of like, oh, my God, it's almost like they're taking the piss.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, they are actually that American. But yeah, it's good. We're running out of time. We've got to play the game.
Oh yeah, we've got to do a quiz.
Oh, what's the fucking? I haven't done this for.
Okay, this is the game.
We're both really hungover.
But I don't have to. I don't have to be holding anything. Right?
No.
We came to see your show last night, and then we went and had a drink afterwards, and we're absolutely in bits today.
In bits. Mm. I love this. I'm going to use all this back in the States.
What's the thing?
I was in bits. I was judding.
Okay, this is a game. It's called
Bet. Oh,
no, wrong button. Press wrong button. Right, okay. So this is the game. It's called Better or Worse, and you have to tell me whether the next person is better or worse than the person before, based entirely on my own opinion. So, Winona Ryder. Is Winona Ryder better or worse than Daffy Duck?
Better.
I think Daffy Duck is better. Is that what you mean?
No, Winona Ryder's better.
I prefer Daffy Duck, I think, to Winona. I like Winona Ryder, she's a high card. But okay, Donald Duck. Is Donald Duck better than Daffy Duck?
Daffy Duck.
Yes, because if you're going to pick a duck, go with Donald.
No, Daffy Duck is better.
It's entirely based on my own opinion.
Exactly. Would you watch Daffy Duck?
No, but I don't like the speech impediments. That's my problem with it.
Sure. But,
Dwayne?
But like, Donald Duck has a speech impediment.
Yeah,
doesn't Daffy?
And Daffy Duck has a speech impediment.
I don't like it.
Donald Duck, you can't
really understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, is he better or worse than Donald Duck?
Donald Duck is better than...
I think he's better. I think Donald Duck is better.
I'll go with Dwayne the Rock. Because he's a good friend of mine. I'm just kidding.
Debbie Harry. Is Debbie Harry better or worse than Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
Better.
Come on. Better. Yeah.
You wouldn't go anti-Debbie Harry.
No.
Thank you.
That could be one of your names you toured under.
Yeah. as well as Andy Depressant.
Gordon Ramsay. Is Gordon Ramsay better or worse than Debbie Harry?
Oh,
he's worse.
Hell.
He's worse. He may be the worst person I've ever... He may be worse than Piers Morgan.
Fucking...
He's a terrible man. Awful. Is his food good?
I don't know. I can't afford it.
I don't know.
I can't afford it. That's
can't
so
afford
true.
His food. How would I know?
But I think that Gordon Ramsay is so clearly an act that he takes off as soon as he leaves the set. And Piers Morgan, I think it's just as much of an act, but I think he takes it home with him.
Gordon Ramsay swears in a way that no one swears, because he's obviously thinking, they want me to swear. So he'll be like, what's this fuck sauce? And you go, what? No one would say that. What's this? What's in this fuck sauce? And he'll be like, it doesn't make sense.
But that's what they want from you.
Yeah,
now.
They do. More. Is Smokey Robinson better or worse than Gordon Ramsay?
Oh, Smokey Robinson is the greatest.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Is Lieutenant...
But is he better or worse than Gordon Ramsay?
He's better.
Right, sure.
Is Lieutenant Columbo, Lieutenant in the UK, better than Smokey Robinson? Columbo, the character Columbo.
Yes, he is, because I'm a huge Columbo fan.
Yeah, it's tough.
One more thing, ma'am. One more thing. Huh? See? You did a Columbo there.
Bruce Lee. Is Bruce Lee better or worse than Columbo?
Worse. I think Columbo is probably,
high
cost.
It's too high, isn't it?
I don't know.
I like Bruce Lee.
Lee.
Sure, it's a
He'll
high card.
He'll kick your ass if he find out.
He won't now.
It's a high card.
Yeah.
It's a high card.
I can't believe that we're all getting serious.
Yeah, that's it. It's a serious game. You've got to take this seriously.
The more serious you take it,
the better it is.
The better it is.
Is it always Donald Duck? Is it always Donald Duck?
I love Bruce Lee, but I think I like Columbo more than Bruce Lee. It's a mind game. That's clever. Is Michael Caine better or worse than Bruce Lee?
I love him, so I guess... I don't know.
Nah, he's worse, isn't he?
Bruce Lee! Bruce
Lee. He acts in too many things, so...
yeah.
Take a break.
He's all right. I like him. That's it!
Right, okay. Well, I mean, how many points was that?
Six
points.
That's
six
pretty
points.
Good.
6 points?
Yeah. It's entirely based on my opinion. So you have to match what I... So you've done well. It's in
The highest one was 8 out of 10, wasn't it?
I don't feel like I've done well on that.
No.
Game.
No.
How do you know when you feel like you've done well?
It will kick in a couple of days.
Yeah, right. You'll
God, Daffy Duck! Why didn't I go with Daffy Duck?
You'll feel elated tomorrow.
Oh,
about
fuck!
It.
We've got one more minute left. Well, we've really fucked it up. We haven't played your favourite song.
Oh, God, yeah.
We haven't downloaded the Burt Reynolds song. I don't know what you're saying. You haven't got them.
Should we play Aretha
Franklin? I'm going to play fucking Andy's song. All right, I'm going to do that. But I'm just saying that I've messed up earlier. We were meant to play it earlier.
What if you go over? What would they do?
Oh, no, hang on. Okay, so you're at the Soho Theatre until the 15th?
It's 16th. 15th,
yes. 15th. Not the 9th or 13th.
Saw your show last night. Really, really loved it.
Absolutely recommend it. Please go.
Every night at 9. Highly except for a couple of nights.
At the Soho Theatre.
9th
in London, Soho. London's glittering West End. I'm going to go now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is your favourite song, to, Nothing But Flowers by Talking Heads.